All right, well, we are in the fourth of our Advent messages today, and I'm going to go ahead and light the love candle. I've titled today's message, For All the People, Part 2. We had Part 1 a couple weeks ago. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 2, if you'd open your Bibles, please. Gospel of Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. Again, we've been there before, and we're going there again today. You know, Advent, just a reminder, it means arrival. It comes from a Latin word, adventus, which is taken from a Greek word, but it means arrival. During this Advent season, we celebrate the first arrival, the first coming of Jesus. And there are four traditional themes of Advent. There's hope, joy, peace, and love. And we recognize that in the coming of Jesus and the Son of God being born into this world, we have the opportunity to turn away from darkness and sin and self and turn toward the goodness of Jesus and experience hope and peace and joy and love in our lives. During this series, we've been exploring the messages from the angels leading up to the birth of Jesus. And today we're going to go back to a phrase that we've looked at before and explore the final theme of Advent, which is love. The arrival of Jesus brings a turning towards love. Now, when we talk about love, especially up here, Hollywood talks about a lot of different things and labels it as love. It has nothing to do with love sometimes. But when we talk about biblical love, there's different directions we could go. The main directions we can go is this way, right? Vertically, the love of God. God's love for us, Him giving us the ability to respond with love back to Him. But we could also talk about love horizontally, love for other people, especially other believers and even non-believers. And I think the first few weeks we've spoken about the love of God and the coming of Jesus and His birth and His return. So we're not going to talk as much, we're not going to focus at least immediately as much on the vertical as the horizontal today and love for other people, especially those that maybe people would think are the least or the last or the lost. So we're going to today look at that horizontal aspect. And I want to look at one particular way we can show love to people around us today. And we're going to see this in the example of the shepherd. So throughout this series, we've been looking at little snippets from the Chosen Holy Night movie. And we have two of those today. The first one's just a few minutes. The other one is actually less than a minute at the end of the message. But I want to go ahead and set up this scene for you. So the angels visit, right? They have come and they've spoken to the shepherds. And so we're going to see the angels, they've gone back to heaven. And it's that moment where the shepherds, in response to the word of God, what do? They look for the baby, right. Yeah, they go, they rush to Bethlehem. They want to see this thing that's been spoken by the angels, the word of God to them. They want to see the Messiah. And so we're going to see that they rush to see the child on that holy night. And then after rushing to see Jesus, they do something else. They rush off to tell other people about what they saw. And so this is portrayed in this scene here. We'll go ahead and watch this. Thank you.
so beautiful.
He must tell someone.
He must tell everyone.
He must tell everyone.
Everyone. Yes. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. We've waited for this for so long. So long.
He's on. He's on.
He's on.
He's on.
Yes, he's on.
Oh, it's okay. What will you name him?
Jesus.
We will name him Jesus. I must go. People must know. People must know.
People must know.
We've seen the illustration of how they showed that unfold, so let's go ahead and look to the Word of God and listen and see what the Bible has to say here in Luke chapter 2 about that scene. Starting in verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace with on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they'd been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard, which were just as they'd been told. So one minute, you have the shepherds, they've received this message from the angels about the Messiah, and they are rushing to find Jesus. They're rushing to find the baby. And then they rush off to tell everybody. They take off to every corner of Bethlehem to tell every person who has not heard yet that the Messiah has come to tell them this good news. So just to kind of boil this down to the simple phrase for us to take with us, I would say he came, right? He came down. Jesus came down from heaven. He came, they went. He came and they went. Would you say that with me today? He came. They went. They went, right. It's a natural response to knowing that the Son of God has been born into the world. You've been told this. You've been given this message to say, everybody needs to know this. This is awesome news. He came and they went. You know, in many ways, these shepherds were the very first evangelists. You know, before the 12 apostles were even chosen, before they were ever sent out, you had this humble group of shepherds who had this little bit of information, the Messiah has been born, let's go out and tell everybody. Let's tell everybody this good news and tell them, hey, there's reason to have hope now. There's reason to have peace now because the Messiah is here. He's been born. He came and they went. Jesus came, so the shepherds went out to everyone. You know, they could have made other choices. They could have maybe signed up for a Way of the Master Evangelism series It's what I would have done. They didn't. You know, they could have signed up maybe for Billy Graham School of Evangelism online. It's a great program. They didn't do that. They just said, hey, we've got this little bit of information. They didn't have all the information we have in the New Testament, but they knew God has sent his son. The world's got to know. And with that, that's the equipping they needed to go out and tell the world that Jesus had been born. They received this word from God. Verse 10, I bring you good news. I bring you good news. The shepherds understood, even though everybody else looks down on us, you know, in that culture, shepherds, their voice in a court of law didn't have much weight as a testimony. As a witness among people, it didn't have a lot of weight, but God chose them anyway. But it doesn't stop there. I bring you good news, right? God's telling them, this is even for shepherds. This is for the lowest of the low that everybody's looking down on, that people don't respect. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. I brought good news for you that's going to cause great joy for everybody, right? It's a message for everyone. Verse 11, today in the town of David, a Savior is born to you. He is the Messiah, the Christ. He is Lord. You know, we don't know how educated these guys were. We don't know how old they were. We don't know their names. But what we do know is they're Jews. And as Jews, they would have been educated in their youth about the Messiah. From the Hebrew Scriptures, they would have understood God's going to send a Redeemer. God's going to send somebody to save and redeem and to rescue mankind. And they've got this news. He's here. He has come. And so they're excited. That's their whole evangelism training. That's it. They didn't have all the answers. They didn't have a whole lot of Scripture memorized necessarily. They had none of the New Testament, right? But they had everything they needed. God has spoken. God has said, the Messiah has come for you. This is good news. Everybody needs to know. And they're like, all right, let's go. Let's tell everybody. Good news of great joy for all the people. You know, even though they weren't highly thought of, God chose them. And I can understand maybe why God chose shepherds. Why do you think God would choose shepherds to spread this news? There's a lot of good answers. What do you think? I know I've had time to ponder this more, so I'm going to have more. It's okay. But you guys always have great answers. What do you think? Why would he choose shepherds?
They're the lowest of the low. The lowest of the low,
right.
He came for the lowest of the low as well.
Yeah, starting at that lowest common denominator, even though they weren't respected by their peers, right, in society, by their people, God says, hey, Messiah's for you. Gave the message, that privilege, that joy of getting that news first. Why else? Why would God choose shepherds? The place? Yeah, it was prophesied. Okay. Yeah, they would understand that lowliness of the setting. Yeah, AJ? What's that? Symbolic, yes. Jesus loves shepherds, doesn't he? He's a shepherd. Yeah. Yeah. Brian, is that what you were going to say? Right, okay. The feeding trough and the stable there. And, you know, I think part of it is they had some skills as shepherds of sheep that transfer over to people, to shepherding people. They understood, you know, caring for sheep, protecting sheep, listening for the bleeding, you know, the calls of the sheep. They understood these things. They had skills that even though they weren't respected by people, they understood that, you know, maybe they had a teacher voice. You know, you'd have to yell for your sheep, hey, don't go over there, right? So they would have this like firm but clear voice being outdoors to be able to call back and forth to the other shepherds. And
now I thought about the lineage of David. David was a shepherd.
Yeah, David was a shepherd. Excellent, yeah. There's a lot of good reasons. You know, I think of the example in Scripture of the one sheep that goes off and leaving the 99 to find the one, right? It's a picture of a shepherd. And so these guys did that all the time. You know, they understood. It's like, hey, the ones who are the most broken, the most lost, need rescued. And so they're like, let's go share the good news with everybody. And they're the ones who are like, they're going to tell everybody. You know, they're not going to look down on anybody and say, they don't need to. No, they're going to tell everybody. You know, it's kind of really reminiscent of when Jesus spoke with the fishermen. You know, and said, hey, follow me. I'm going to do what? I'm going to make you fishers of men. Yeah, the text doesn't say it here, but I think the message kind of with the shepherds is, hey, I'm going to make you shepherds of people, you know? Come and see Jesus, and then you're going to go out and share this awesome message. You're going to be shepherds of men. They rush to Bethlehem, right, to see Jesus. They rush to there, and then they rush off. They go out. He came, so, of course, they went. You know, they couldn't keep that to themselves. They go out to the people, and the word says they tell everybody what they had heard and what they had seen. They're witnesses. That's what they did. I also think there's an element of love in this. You know, because they could have taken what they had received and said, let's have a party. Let's go back out, you know, to our tents and let's roast a lamb and, you know, let's party up because Messiah's come. This is awesome. But they didn't do that. Out of love, they thought, no, everybody's got to know this. This is for everybody else. And so out of love, they wanted to share that message. People must know, they said in the Chosen portrayal of that. He came, and so they went. You know, we also see this throughout the New Testament. It's not just with the shepherds. At the very start of Jesus' ministry, when he came, you know, in Mark and John's accounts, in the gospel accounts, it talks about John the Baptist, you know, preparing the way, right? What did John the Baptist do? Messiah's coming. The kingdom's here. You know, he's just shouting it out for whoever will listen. It's like, Messiah's coming. Everybody's got to know. And sometimes he would tell that in some pretty forceful ways, depending on the crowd there. But from the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, it's being declared to the people, to everyone. You know, we see Jesus sending out the 12 with the message of the kingdom. We see Jesus sending out the 72, right, to do what? Spread the word. Go tell everybody. Tell them Messiah is here. You know, in all four of the gospel accounts, in different ways, at the end of Jesus' ministry, after his resurrection, what does Jesus do with his disciples? Go, tell everybody. He gives all of the marching orders, right, to the church. Go out and tell everybody. We see that in the book of Acts. The book of Acts contains the evangelistic efforts of the first century church. What do? They share the gospel. They tell everybody the good news. He came and they went. So, listen, if at the start of the gospel stories in Scripture, that's the pattern, right? He came down, they went out, that's the pattern. Throughout Jesus' ministry, he came down, he sends people out. At the end, before he ascends back to heaven, what happens? He came, he sends people out. That seems to be the pattern for the church. And I'm wondering if that's the pattern that they embraced because Jesus said so, is that our pattern? Is that our pattern today? As we celebrate the fact that he came, are we going? He came, we go. He came down, the Son of God has come, and so we go to everyone with the message. You know, 2 weeks ago in the sermon, I drew some parallels between us, the church today, and shepherds. And we talked about some of those things that we have in common, some differences, but I wonder, you know, do we have this in common with the shepherds? Are we thinking, do we have to, maybe I need to learn more, maybe I need to be more eloquent, maybe I have all these excuses, or are we just doing what they did? As much as God has given me and spoken to me, I'm going to go and tell everybody. Because everybody needs to know, is the church still going today? You know, I would say, looking at the church worldwide, there are places where the church is flourishing, where people are sharing the gospel. Sometimes the places where the gospel is most restricted, where there's the most persecution against believers, they are on fire sharing the gospel in a lot of those places, and the church is growing. But statistically today in America, especially personal evangelism, it's not happening. Not much. The SBC, the Southern Baptist Convention, largest Protestant denomination in the U.S., they measure their evangelism effectiveness in terms of baptisms. Now, I know that people can be saved and not baptized. They can be baptized and not saved. But they want to have some way of measuring, right, of how the people are doing with sharing the gospel. So they keep track of that in the SBC. So Tom Rainer, he's the CEO of Church Answers, and he does some surveys, and he said that between 1972 and 2022 with SBC, looking at their number of baptisms, does anybody know Have a guess how much the U.S. population has grown during that time, over that 50 years? More than 100 million increase. The population from 72 to 2022 in the U.S. grew 60%. It's a massive increase. Guess what happened with baptisms? Radical decrease, 60% decrease in the number of baptisms over that time, which tells us people are just not sharing the gospel. People are not sharing the gospel. You know, if you and I knew that everybody's dying of cancer and we know where the cure is, what's the only possible loving answer? We got to tell everybody where the cure is, right? I think part of the reason why we see such a decrease is that not only are people not sharing the gospel as much, but there are just so many voices today. You know, look at the technology in 72. I mean, you had a few television channels. You had really no internet. And for the most part in the culture, the church still had a very loud voice in the culture, very respected voice. So people were listening to what the church had to say. They were listening to what the Bible said. But today you've got so many voices talking continually with social media, and most of them are saying really bad stuff. You know, it's not the good news of Jesus. So you've got people, and I'll just pick on young folks a little bit, because I know today, I mean, there's an epidemic among young people of anxiety. And part of that is there's just so many voices that are speaking anxiety to them. But we've got the message of hope. We've got the message of peace. We've got the message of salvation in Jesus Christ. And that's the message people need to hear. So we need to be a little louder, perhaps, and a little more faithful to share that message. Is the church still going? Yes, kind of, but no, not as much as we could. But it doesn't change the fact. You know, no matter what excuses we could have, what is the pattern of the church in the Bible? We go. We're commanded to go. There's no justification for not going. You know, God said, go, share the gospel, share the good news. And so we see that example, right? He came and we go. I want to build on that just a little bit to unpack this. He came, we go to the ones nearest us. He came, we go to the ones nearest us. And also, he came, we go to the ones at the ends of the earth. This is what Jesus told us to do. So let's talk about the first part of that first. He came, we go to the ones nearest to us. You know, the Bible story that we see here in Luke 2 of the birth of Jesus, the shepherds first go to Bethlehem, right? These are their homies. These are, you know, friends and family, and, you know, these are their people. These are the people, proximity go to those nearest, but it's also relationally. These are people that are family and friends or neighbors, or these are the people they have relationships with. And we see that throughout the New Testament, this pattern. It always seems to start with the people who are the closest to you. That's who we're supposed to go to first. In Matthew 10, there's an account there of Jesus sending out the 12 apostles. If you'd like to turn to Matthew 10 in your Bibles, you can, starting in verse 5. The Bible says, these 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. So Jesus sends them out. He's saying, first go to your own people. Go to your town, your neighborhood. Go to the villages around you. Go to those people that you do life with. That's who you need to share the gospel with first. Luke, when he's recording the time before Jesus returned to heaven, the apostles are hanging out with Jesus. And Luke says, then they gathered around him and they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. You're going to be my witnesses. You're going to go out with a message in Jerusalem, right? Home, where you live, go out in Jerusalem, then all Judea and Samaria, the area going out from home, to the ends of the earth. You will be my witnesses, starting with those who are nearest to you, the people you've got relationships with. And then you go out from there. You know, as I read this, I think hovering over all of it, it wasn't just an abstract command. It's the love of God God's saying, I love everybody. Everybody needs to hear this message of salvation. He doesn't delight in anybody being separated from him. And so he's saying, listen, you need to go and love your neighbor. You need to go and love your neighbor. And the way you love your neighbor is you share the good news about Jesus with them. You know, maybe that begins with, hey, do you know that God loves you? And they say yes or no, and you say, do you know how he loved you? And you take him to the cross. He loves you so much that he sent a son to die for your sins, that you could receive righteousness and have eternal life. But it's the love of God. And when we go in love and we go in peace and we go to serve other people, we go with the good news of God's love for people, we go first to those who are nearest to us. So who is it? I mean, who's popping up there in your conscience right now? That friend, that family member, somebody who doesn't know Jesus yet and they need to know him. And maybe you just start with that low hurdle. Do you know God loves you? Really? I'm not just a saying, but do you really, personally, God loves you. Do you understand that? And then take him to the gospel. That is the call of a church. That's our call. It's always been the call of the church. You know, Matthew 22, Jesus is asked about the greatest commandment. They're trying to trip him up like usual, but he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. That's the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. What is it? Love your neighbor as yourself. How do we love our neighbor? First and foremost, man, they need to know God. They need to know God just like you do. I want to challenge you today. Consider who that is. Who is that person closest to you relationally that doesn't know Jesus yet? And they need to know the love of God this Christmas. They need to know that God sent his son for them. You know, maybe that looks like inviting them to go caroling with you. That's tonight, 5:00. We'll have plenty of food. I'll order more if we don't. Maybe that looks like inviting somebody to the Christmas Eve service because they're going to hear the message of the gospel. Or maybe it looks like just saying, hey, can we have coffee this week? Can I tell you a little bit more about this love of God? That he sent his son to save you. But whatever it looks like, you need to love on them in a way that makes sense to them and in a way that gives you an opportunity to share the gospel, that God sent a son for everybody, including them. You know, maybe it looks like sharing the gospel in Indian Heights while we're out here. You know, we get to pray for somebody and ask him, do you know Jesus? That may happen tonight as we go out caroling. So again, great opportunity. He came, we go to the ones nearest us. But this also. He came, we go to the ones at the ends of the earth. He came, we go to the ones at the ends of the earth. People who live on streets that are not in your town. You know, people who live across America, all over the world. Jesus sent those first apostles out. He said, go to Israel. But then they went out after that. As the church was established among the Gentiles, we go in love with the good news of God's love to those nearest, and then we go outward and outward and out until everybody hears the gospel. You know, most of us physically are not going to be able to go by ourselves out there to the ends of the earth. I would love to do that. That would be awesome. I don't have the financial means yet. You know, God can do that, but we do actively support reaching people in other places. You know, we have global missions. We support Deirdre. We mentioned her earlier. They're in Jamaica, and the gospel is being shared through the church in Jamaica. You know, our church family supports other global missions as well. We have supported purchasing Bibles through the Voice of the Martyrs a couple years ago. It's probably time we do that again. We took up a large donation to get Bibles into countries where it's very dangerous to get a Bible in, and we need to keep doing that. You know, Operation Christmas Child, another good example. Getting the gospel out there to places that it's difficult, but we support those things. Even through our website, through Facebook, through YouTube, through social media, it amazes me because we're just a little church with a big, awesome God. It amazes me that I can look at the analytics on that stuff, and it shows, hey, people from 5 countries where the gospel's restricted watched this week. And it's amazing, you know, because they're going to hear about Jesus Christ. And so there's all these different ways that we can, and especially above anything, prayer. You know, that we are praying for those out there. We're praying for our brothers and sisters who are sharing the gospel in other places. And we're praying for those unbelievers. We're praying for those people who persecute the church. God, in your mercy, draw them to Jesus. So we take that to the world with help from other believers. He came, we go to the ones at the ends of the earth. You know, I hope that as we approach the new year, maybe we can pray for new ways. What are some new ways that we can really support that and get the gospel out there? So I want to show another clip here from The Chosen. It's pretty self-explanatory. It's very, very brief. I think it's one of the most important clips that we can watch, though. So let's go ahead and take a look at this, and I'll come back up.